For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. The air of excitement, the frantic nature of this show, the tiredness in my voice. It can only mean one thing. Yes, it is the FA Cup first round, and my own club, Hayes and Yedding, prepare for the visit of Sutton United. And let me tell you, despite a record 3 years in a row, it gets more complicated, more hassle-ridden every time. Great times for those involved in football clubs, but also stressful for those behind the scenes, ensuring it goes without a hitch. I wouldn't change places when in any of those clubs whose FA dreams ended early this season again, but spare a thought that it's not always greener grass when you are successful as a non-league club in a professional competition. So this week, we are all about the first round. In league terms anyway. There's much more to talk about too. Phil Annetts, though, does break us in with the kind of stats and facts that, well, you may wish many could relay, but there's few that can manage to be so accurate and entertaining. Now, first, manager guest is a man at an unfashionable side in a greater London suburb on the west side of Middlesex. Yes, this is the second time he's led Harrow Borough to the first round, and he's taken them to face recent FA Cup winners Portsmouth this time. Steve Baker is going to enjoy this one. Talking about enjoying management, Dave Challoner has had one of those weeks where you can't win for trying. Leaving the club he took into the Football League in the summer for the club he beat in the playoff semi-final. He's determined he can replicate the success as he returns to Stockport County to return them to the Football League, where he played for them as a player. First up, though, a little FA Cup derby at Bolton Wanderers. Helping bring it all together, it's David Richardson back with the non-league paper roundup and ahead of a packed edition again this weekend. Much to come, sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So it is the FA Cup first round, and as I've said, for me, that's almost a phrase that brings a smile, but also a great deal of trepidation. So in times like this, who do you need? You need a familiar voice. You need the man with the facts that will steady any ship, the man with the stats to help you with any quivering lip. I am, of course, talking of Mr. FA Cup Magic himself. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to at FA Cup Fact Farm, Mr. Phil Annetts. Welcome back, Phil.
It's a real pleasure to be back, Tim.
Well, it's good to have you. I mean, you are part of the furniture. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for either of us. I don't know. But, yeah, this is probably... this is the biggest showcase of non-league that we get every year, I guess. Yeah, 40 ties, 80 clubs. A split of those clubs between non-league and football league coming together. We got fans at these games as well this year. It's a great occasion ahead this weekend, with games Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, it's a fantastic weekend. You're right, it is the opportunity for non-league to get in front of the public consciousness. As you see the games on TV, and they've obviously picked games which pit non-league clubs at home against league clubs, with the hope that they might see a giant killing act, and this is what, you know, we like to call the magic of the FA Cup, I suppose. But yeah, fantastic. 32 clubs have made it through to pit themselves against what are effectively giants as far as they're concerned. So there are some great ties this weekend.
Yeah, and of course, the historic 150-year celebration. If anybody doubted the significance of that history in creating the magic, is it, we've got no less than 9 former winners taking part this weekend. That's over 10% of the teams competing in this first round having previously lifted the famous trophy. That's pretty amazing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, and it just shows you how fortunes can change in football over time. But it is, yeah, 9 former winners. And, of course, one of them are a non-league side in the shape of Notts County. So they were winners back in, I think, 1874. So the oldest winners in the competition this season. But it's not often that it's a non-league side that is a former winner that's in the first round.
Yeah, and you mentioned it's all kicking off with AFC Sudbury on Friday evening entertaining Colchester United. No surprise that it was picked, and we spoke with Andrew Long, the Sudbury chairman, last week about how preparations and everything like that and what it all means to a club like Sudbury, which makes for a great opener for the weekend. And am I right in saying that they're the lowest ranked side left in the competition too?
They are indeed. Yeah, they're the only level eight side remaining, and they've got a tie against Colchester United, who are at EFL2. So there's a four league gap, which is the level that Colchester faced last season and became a cropper against Marine. So we're hoping to see maybe Lightning strike twice. It's level eight versus level four is like the biggest equal gap of victory for a smaller team over a bigger team. So AFC Sudbury could really make history this weekend.
Yeah, and we do love those cup sets, because they're the things that stick in our memory for, well, years, decades, your generations to come. And there's that AFC Sudbury game is one of many non-league against Football League opposition games. Any others particularly stand out for you as potential cup sets?
Yeah, there's well, in the non-league world, you've got Kidderminster against Grimsby. It's a small level of cup set. But in non-league versus league, you have Banbury are hosting Barrow. So I think there's every chance there with the trip that Barrow have got to make. It's quite a long trip for them. So Banbury looking to try and make the second round for the first time ever. So I think you know, all eyes can be on that game. And I think another one who may fancy their chances is Solihull Moors, who are at Wigan. Solihull have had a good run in the FA Cup in recent times. They've made the second round in all of the last three seasons, and they'll fancy their chances in that game too.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier Notts County. They're in one of these non-league against Football League opposition ties. They're at Rochdale, aren't they, over the weekend. That'd be cool. So hoping to put behind them last season's disappointment when COVID hit the camp and they were unable to take their place in the competition.
Yeah, that was the first time ever the club had failed to appear in the first round of the FA Cup since they first entered it way back in the 1860s. 1870s, sorry. They will be looking to put that behind them. They are up against a team they've beaten twice before in the competition. And whilst Rochdale have got a good recent run in the FA Cup, they did get knocked out in the first round last season. So there's a chance there to for Notts County to continue their run this year.
Yeah, and as well as these non-league against Football League, which are always great for the cup sets and those long living memories, it's also great as well when we get plenty of non-league against non-league ties too, where they're guaranteed non-league participation in the next time in the second round.
Yeah, so we got seven of those in total. So we've got FC Halifax taking on Maidenhead. Trying to get through to the second round for the first time in 135 years. So, you know, they've been very close in recent years, having made the first round quite a few times in recent seasons. You've got the big game, I guess, is Chesterfield against Southend, who are more accustomed to playing each other in the FA Cup as league sides, but this will be their first meeting as non-league teams. York City against Buxton, that should be a cracking game. They played a couple of seasons ago. Buxton lost that one, but they're into the first round this time for the first time in 59 years, so they'll be wanting to keep that run going. And then we've got what I think is the best of them all, I guess, is Yate Town versus Yeovil Town. And in the FA Cup, this is the
please,
first
please, Phil,
ever
tell
time.
Tell us why.
Yeah, why? That is the question. Tell us why. Well, it's because it's the first time two clubs, beginning with the letter Y, have ever met in the competition. That's 150 years of FA Cup, 73,000 plus games, and we are seeing the first Y versus Y match of all time. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, but at least one of them will go through and we're guaranteed to have a non-league side in the second round. And Yeovil themselves are already making history by being in the first round anyhow, because they are the first club to have reached the first round 52 times as a non-league side, which is quite an impressive feat, in fact. And so they've already made one bit of FA Cup history, and the game against Yate is the second one.
And you're reeling these stats off, Phil, you know, as though it's just like I don't know, like you're some sort of station guard or something, sort of just reeling off the next train arriving or something like that. But I mean, every round you seem to come up with another set of stats that astounds. And do you amaze yourself sometimes when you come across? I mean, is there like fireworks going off in the Annette's household when you come across a new record or a new stat or something?
Well, I do love uncovering new stats, and normally they're just like best runs or biggest wins and that kind of thing. But when you can come across something like, you know, two clubs beginning with the same letter you've never met before, that just stands out. And yeah, it seemed to capture the imagination of the people as well, but out on Twitter world, I think got shared quite a lot. So yeah, I just like to find these quirky little stats and things. Often it's questions that someone asks me and it triggers a search and will bring out some interesting piece that then, you know, some people might say it's quite nerdy and others will say that's the best thing I've ever read. So you're never in the middle. You're always at one end or the other.
Well, you know you can never please everybody all of the time. And you've opened the box now because people are going to be chucking questions left, right, and centre now. You know, when was the last time a club beginning with Z played? I don't know. There probably hasn't been one, but you probably know. I don't know. You mentioned plenty of stats there, but is there one big stat of the round that we should be aware of, Phil?
One big stat of the round. Well, we've got Altrincham, who are participating in the FA Cup for the 100th time. And so that's a big stat for them. And another team that's true too is Sutton United, who are the opponents of Hayes and Yedding United this weekend. And Hayes and Yedden United have reached the first round for the third successive season. And definitely since the pyramid was put in place, that is the first time a club from level seven in the pyramid has made it through to the first round in three consecutive years. So history has already been made by Hayes and Yedden United. They've never been beyond the first round. So it could happen this season. I'll be there on Saturday to watch it, and hopefully we'll see history being made.
Yeah, well, and it'll be great to have you there as well, Phil. And I think it is one of those stats that it's almost there because of the pandemic and the impact that's had on football. Because normally a club would be, you know, hoping that they would have been promoted from step three during those seasons, but we've had two aborted seasons and now this one, which sort of almost created the conditions as well as some fine performances on the field as well. And you know, we'll be hoping for another fine performance on Saturday as well against a club that knows that we both know each other very, very well. So that's going to be an interesting one. So you mentioned where you're going to be heading, but I've said Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday games, and we've got a slightly different approach again this year regarding the draw. And it means a long wait for those winning on Friday night games because the draw won't actually take place until after all the games have been completed on Monday evening.
Well, it is a long wait for those playing on Friday night, yes, of course. But for me, I think it's the right thing to do. You should have had all the games before you make the draw for the next round. And whilst that might mean you've got less time to prepare for the following round, it is a few weeks before the second round starts. It doesn't take place until the beginning of December. So, I'm supportive of the draw happening after all the clubs have played. I just wish they didn't have to wait till Monday night for that to have been completed.
Yeah, I've always found it odd when they've done it maybe on the Monday evening and they drag a manager out of the dressing room while he's preparing for the biggest game of his season, possibly the biggest game of his life, and ask him what he thinks of the draw, that if he wins this game, he'll be playing. It just seems a bizarre take and maybe not understanding football and you know, the implications. You know, I've already sort of touched upon the organisation and the bureaucracy. It probably sounds too strong a word. The administration and the organisation that needs to go into these games is problematic for certainly for non-league clubs and those run on volunteers and that sort of thing. So I support yourself on the draw coming after the games and 3 weeks. I mean, three months probably wouldn't be long enough to organise and get every dot, all the I's and dot, cross all the T's. So, I mean, if you are at a non-league at an FA Cup game this weekend, and it's been hosted at a non-league game, please do bear in mind that how that game's been able to get put on, the hours, the lack of sleep, and everything like that that goes into making sure that everybody can enjoy this magical competition. I mean, I love your stat that you put out on Twitter this week as well, Phil, that 729 clubs entered this year's competition, and actually there's only 124 clubs left in, with these 80 clubs taking part this weekend. It just shows the sheer magnitude of the competition, but also how important non-league is to the FA Cup.
Yeah, I think non-league are critical to the standing of the competition in terms of the eyes of the football world. The FA are very much making a thing of that now to talk about how the competition is designed on hope and inclusivity. And I think it's right that non-league get the awareness of their involvement to a much wider audience. And I think it's something that might not been as prevalent in the past, but we're now starting to see that the football world is recognising that the part all these small town and local village clubs play in the competition's foundation and history.
Yeah, and I think also a big part will also be played this weekend by the ex-Football League clubs that are now non-league. You've mentioned Notts County. I'm sure they'll take a big following to Rochdale. There's Wrexham off to Harrogate. They'll take a big contingent there as well. And, Stockport taking 5,000 fans to Bolton Wanderers. It just shows that, certainly at the top level of the game, the support that non-league has.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the players and the managers all know that this competition is the one that everyone is aware of and everyone loves, and so they all want to be part of it and they all want to be successful in it. And the fans of clubs are getting onto the back of that and would love to see their teams do well against league opposition to show them that they may not be in the league right now, but it can still give them a good game.
Yeah, so it's a great weekend for non-league being showcased, some live TV, highlights on Match of the Day and everything like that. And of course, at FA Cup Fact Farm, Mr. Filanet's giving a showcase to the non-league clubs as ever and the stats around them. Phil, before you go, just remind everybody where they can follow you and find out about current and future FA Cup Fact Files.
Well, I'm on Twitter as at FA Cup Fact File, as you said, and I run a blog that covers both previews and reviews of every round, which is on WordPress /FA Cup Fact File.co.uk. I'm on Facebook if you want to follow me there. And yeah, just keep an eye out for the stats that I put out there before and after every round.
And certainly in my house, I'm being reminded that Christmas is just around the corner. Anybody looking for a stocking filler? Is that any recommendations?
Yeah, there's a fantastic book out there called FA Cup 150. It's a great commemorative book about the competition's history. Lots of stats and facts and top 150 lists and thousands of information that will obviously... Some will be known, but many of it won't be. So you can get FA Cup 150 from my website, facfile.co.uk/shop, or you can go into Amazon and you can find it there. Just look for FA Cup 150.
Phil, a pleasure as always to get you on the Non-League Football Show. I look forward to catching up with you again, although it will probably be very briefly on Saturday. Thanks again for your input, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Okay, cheers, Tim. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
So, FA Cup first round, it's what the magic of the Cup is all about. So, let's see if that's true. If you're a manager of a football club, drawn away at one of the former winners of this great competition, it's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to Harrow Borough manager Steve Baker.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. Now, no sarcastic comments about me only ever winning, ringing you when you're winning. You're having a great season this year, and drawing Portsmouth away. Where were you when the draw was made for this first round? I've got visions of you suddenly leaping up and down and being rather excitable.
It wasn't actually. I'd love to say I was in a club or a pub, was surrounded by loads of people and this and that, but no, it wasn't. I was sitting on the couch at home with my wife and the kids and the dogs, and I was trying to explain to my daughters how the draw works, and I gave up after about 5 minutes. I think the dogs probably got it more than they did. And so we were just sitting at home, obviously extremely excited, but you know what it's like. You're sitting there praying you get a big one, but there's a big part of you thinking, oh, I bet we don't. And funnily enough, the day before, we were talking at the club about who we'd love to get, and there were three or four names we pulled out when we looked at League One, and Portsmouth was the first one that we said, obviously because of where it is. It's a massive club. They won the FA Cup, I think, about 12 years ago, I think it was, and our biggest fear was getting Dagenham and Redbridge, because our goal is on loan from them, which means we wouldn't have had to play. And Dagenham come out just before, and I was sitting in the front room going, no, please don't. And then, obviously, that didn't. And funnily enough, you could see our ball in the bow every time they were moving it round. And then when Portsmouth popped out, I turned to my wife and the kids and said, this would be unbelievable. And then that second later, it come out. So, no, it was absolutely fantastic. Couldn't have asked for a better draw.
I mean, fantastic, and you know, it's boyhood dreams and all that sort of thing. And then you sit down and you think about the enormity of it all. You're taking your side to Portsmouth, hoping for a cup set.
Yeah, thanks for that, Tim. I've just calmed down the last few days. Where's my Valium? It's a strange one to take in, because after a couple of days, like you say, you're sitting there thinking, we're going to Portsmouth, who a few years ago were in the Premiership. You had Redknapp there, all these famous players that won the FA Cup, and you're like, we're going to play them in 3 weeks. And I think one thing that's helped me personally a little bit, and one or two others at the club, is we got to the first round 5 years ago, Northampton away. And if I'm being honest, I probably didn't enjoy it as much then, because it was a first-time experience. I'd only been working at the level for about 18 months. So I think this, I'd always said, if we ever got an opportunity again, I wanted to probably enjoy it a little bit more this time. To be honest, you hear of some clubs when they get a big draw, they say, oh, no one's allowed to talk about the draw until all our other league games are out of the way. If anyone mentions it, they'll get fined. And we've been the total opposite. Just said to the boys, talk about it as much as you want. I don't care when you talk about it. Let's embrace it. Let's enjoy it. It's something that probably happens once in a lifetime. It's still a hell of a task for us to go there to do that. And I went down to watch him on Tuesday, and that's when it probably hit home a little bit, sitting up in the stand, looking down, and 13,500 people there. And I'm thinking, in 5 days' time, we'll be out there. But I guess at the end of the day, that's what we all do it for, on the hope that we get to a level we want to get to, or we get that big draw. And it's just something to really, really look forward to and take it all on and hopefully enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. The draw, I guess, is that's a random thing. But to actually earn your place in the first round of the FA Cup, you know, playing at step three as you are, you've overcome quite big mountains just to get this far.
Well, we have, especially this time. We've knocked two sides out from step four, which is never an easy task in the cup. But more importantly, we knocked two sides out from the Conference South, with Welling and Chelmsford, and deservedly so in both the games. We played really, really well. So it's a funny one. Every year you sit down with the boys in your first FA Cup game and say to them, listen, you're four games away from potentially playing at Portsmouth or Sunderland or somewhere like that. And I think a lot of them look at you and think, yeah, we've heard it all before. And you know, it's like, Tim, us managers, the FA Cup comes out, the old cliche book comes out, and how important it is and what the opportunities are. And but you say it because you genuinely believe that if you do well enough and have a little bit of luck, you might be able to get there. And we've had a tough run getting here, but we've been great in the games, and our league form picked up just before, so it's coincided with a good run with league and cup as well. But I can't speak high enough of the boys in the games. They've been absolutely fantastic, and especially Chelmsford at home, 2-1 down at half time, looked like we'd gone a little bit, and we rallied second half and went on and won 4-2. So I normally say you get what you deserve in football, and on this occasion, the boys have definitely got that. They deserve to be there.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you've been there a while now, and you were given a new two-year deal earlier on in the year by the club. But was first round of the FA Cup away at Portsmouth part of your key performance indicators when you sat down there?
If it was, I didn't read it. That must have been a page two, because I don't normally read anything in it. It's just like, how long is it? What are you going to do if you sack me? That's it. That's normally the only thing you tend to look at. But I think the first year I come here, we got knocked out first round of the FA Cup by Northwood at home. Second year, we got Northampton away in the first round. The club's good as gold, but you know what it's like. When you achieve something once, everyone expects it every year. Not just because of how great it is for the players and the supporters and the club, but the financial implications, as I'm sure you would know, are just, they're life-changing for clubs. And especially given what's happened in the last couple of years. But I'll give the club the due. The chairman never puts them in under any pressure with the FA Cup at all. One or two others will always put a little phone call in before just to remind me of what the game's worth. But the chairman doesn't tend to do that. And he's no different as if we were playing a Middlesex Cup game, which is good because it takes a little bit of pressure off me. But I don't really need anyone at the club to tell me, let's do well in the FA Cup, because that's what I want to do. I was fortunate to play in the first round three times as a player. This is my second time as a manager, and it's brilliant. It's what you want. We're used to playing in front of 180 people, if we're lucky. Potentially Saturday, you could have 8, 9, 10,000 there. You don't know. So from a club point of view, and what the club don't do, which is fantastic, when they budget, they don't budget an FA Cup run in there, which I think is important, because so many clubs do. And then when they go out, all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, the manager's gone and half the squad's gone, and you're starting all over again. So as much as a club want to do well in it, they approach it in the right way.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the numbers that are likely to be there on Saturday. Yeah, disappointed that you're not one of those TV games. I think most people across non-league would love to have been able to see your performance. But tickets have been going great. I think over 500, maybe 600 people travelling down, coaches going down. And that's a true credit to all those people behind the scenes who helped make it happen, who you sort of intimated about there.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. To be fair, like you say, people don't realise the work that's gone on behind the scenes by the chairman, the board members, vice presidents, other people who work within the club. They give up all the free time and they get paid for it. And the amount of work, well, again, you know what it's like, Timber, an FA Cup game. It's not a normal league game. The amount of work and emails and paperwork and things that need to be done. We've had someone from the club, literally, he's been here every day for the last 10 days selling tickets, and I think we're up to about 600 at the minute, which is absolutely fantastic. I know the players' families have got a lot of them coming down, and we're just hoping on the day that we do get a big crowd. I mean, you never know what you're going to get, but they make the tickets very, very favourable with price. I think it's £12 for an adult and a pound a kid. So I know from speaking to a couple of people at Portsmouth, they think that will make a big difference with how many of them that will turn up. The TV one, part of me was disappointed, but I couldn't be too disappointed because we'd already got Portsmouth away, so I wasn't being overly greedy. I think if we'd got Portsmouth at home, 100% we'd have been on the telly, because then it looks more of a cup upset and it's got everything that the probably TV cameras want. It's a non-league ground, Portsmouth are going there, won't like the pitch, and it probably ticks every single box. I think my only disappointment was there was five or six non-league clubs that didn't get a telly deal. And then I think it was Plymouth, Sheffield Wednesday did. And I didn't like that. And not because we didn't get it, because like I say, there was other clubs that could have got it. But the first round is so important financially to non-league clubs that get there. Yes, we're going to make some money anyway, but the TV deal, that takes you to a different level. And it would have been, I think, probably Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth could probably survive without that kind of money coming in, but it would have certainly made a much bigger difference to a non-league club. But as I say, it is what it is. We're just delighted with the draw we got in the first place.
And they'll just have to pick you up in the second round instead. You mentioned like your vice presidents. That I will make a mention to of Keith Loddy, who I know helps raise thousands of pounds in that role every year for the club. Many years back, we used to share an office in a law firm, and we constantly banter about non-league, and getting odd looks from our colleagues and clients. You mentioned about not getting any work done. I mean, the last 2 weeks for me have been a bit of a blur. I can't imagine if this was back then, either of us would have got anything done in a year that both of our clubs made the first round. Because, you know, for people like Keith, for people like myself, for people that put in the hours week in, week out during the boring seasons, and also, I know with Keith, during the seasons that didn't happen or didn't finish, these are the big moments, aren't they? These are why volunteers should get involved with Football Club.
Yeah, 100%. And we, unfortunately, through COVID, we lost a couple of volunteers and helpers at the club, and one or two have suffered very ill health since and not been able to get involved as much as they do. But ultimately, if you ask any person at the club why they do it, it's because they love the Football Club, whether it's Hayes and Yedding, whether it's Harrowborough, whoever. Most of the, if you come here in 1978 and walked in the bar, it probably wouldn't look much different today with faces in there. There's probably a few more balder heads and a few more lines here and there, but it's the same people, and that's their club through and through. And they do, as I say, you know, it's like so much goes on behind the scene that people never ever get to see and never know about. And I'm not talking about my role or anyone else's, because ours is different, but from a club point of view, and there's so much pressure from the authorities that this has got to be right, that's got to be right, and every 5 minutes there's another inspection. This work's got to be done, that work's got to be done. And it's not just the pressure of who's got to deal with all that and who's got to do it. It's right, where are we going to find the money to do that? Because we don't have there's people at our club that have put a hell of a lot of money in and have continued to do over the years, but we don't have an endless pot here. We don't have an owner that's multi-million that just keeps spending and spending and spending. Every penny we need, someone has to go and get it, whether they put a bit in themselves, it's fundraising, it's this, it's that. There's always something being done. And but I reckon if you pulled any single person at the club, and Keith would be a great example, and say, was all that work worth it on Saturday when we walk out Fratton Park, and say 100%, because ultimately that is what it's about, and that's why we all do it.
I'm now wishing that I'd actually paid for Keith to be the mascot for the game, and because that would be one picture that I'd love to see.
Can still be arranged.
you made reference, obviously, to Chairman Peter Rogers. The club's been around for 88 years, and I don't mean this to sound the wrong way, but I think Peter's been there for most of them. You know, 54, I think it was when I had a look. You've mentioned there, you know, the club keeping going through thick and thin, particularly in recent seasons, that sort of thing. I mean, how's he taking all this in? Is he just sort of standard Peter Rogers, just this is what he does?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, we celebrated Peter's 50th year at the club. Probably was about 4 or 5 years ago now. So, yeah, you're probably right. It's about 54 years. And he's obviously, he's Mr. Harrowborough, and the stadium's now named after him and his family. And, I mean, at the minute, I'd say Peter's stress levels are slightly higher than they are normally. So I've sort of kept myself out of the way and turned my phone off as and when I've needed to. Peter, he's a very, very thorough person. He'll do everything that needs to be done, everything that needs to be checked and things in order. And he's very old school in regards to how things will need to be done. And, ultimately, he's a man at the top. He keeps the club running out. He's a pleasure to work with. The best thing about Pete, we very rarely disagree. I think we had one disagreement once, and we both left the room thinking we were right. But he's a very, very level-headed person when it comes to football results. And if we won 4-0 or we lost 4-0, he's no different with me at all. And I'll take that all day long, because I've worked for chairman that when you win, it's all about them. But when you lose, you ain't good enough. And so I would take that all day long. But no, we've had a great working relationship now for the best part of 6.5 years. And we've had some tough times and good times. And hopefully with Saturday coming, that'll be a great day out. But Peter won't say too much, but I know he'll be proud as punch when we go down there Saturday and he walks us off the coach.
Yeah, and such is the world of a non-league manager. You know, you follow a trip to Portsmouth on Saturday, with a trip to Hampton in the Middlesex Cup, I believe, on Tuesday night. But then the games are coming fast and furious at the moment. You mentioned about your league form, which is great. Fourth in the table in the Southern Premier South going into this weekend. But you've got a big trophy game next weekend, a trip to Leyston as well. And it's lengthy trips. They ask a lot of the players, the fans, and they take their toll too. Is that a bit of a concern for you, all these long days out?
Yeah, I mean, we've probably got a little bit used to it over the last 3 years. I mean, I still don't think we should be in the Southern League along with you guys and one or two of the others, more local sides, parts of Hendon, Met Police and things like that. We shouldn't be in the Southern League. For me, there's 9 or 10 journeys in our league that we shouldn't be doing at this level of football. If you jumped up a level, you wouldn't be doing half those journeys. And then only we could get least in the way in the trophy. That just added to another one. Because of the FA Cup, we've got to go in, I think in December, we have to go now to Taunton on a Tuesday night. So there's a lot of challenges to come. At the minute, everybody's fit, coincidentally. Everyone's available.
I think Dave Anderson would always tell you that everybody would be fit for these games.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get rid of the physio this week. She's had nothing to do. but I can't, mate, because it's normally completely the other way around. But, yeah, we've got loads of games coming up. League form, as you say, has been great. I mean, we had a really tough start. Had the worst pre-season I've ever had in my life as a manager or a player. If it could go wrong, it went wrong. Some of the signings we tried to get in didn't come off. Some of the players that were supposed to stay, they left because of the wonderful project at other clubs, which I'm still waiting to see if they actually start. And it was. I thought we was in for a really, really long, horrible season. And then all of a sudden, a couple of things happened, a couple of changes, tweaked the way we played a little bit. We've just got on a good run. So, form's been good. The FA Cup run's definitely helped. Sometimes you're concerned, would it be a little bit of a sideshow? But it's not been that. If anything, it's been the opposite. It's kept everyone going and buzzing and obviously trying to get in the team, and the performances haven't dropped at all, which is great. But that will be an extra test of the character and the players when we come out of the cup. Hopefully it won't be Saturday, but if it is, we've got a long way to go in the season, lots of games to play, and we're in a good position at the minute. And I don't want to just think, oh yeah, we've done okay, we had a nice cup run, and let's just carry on now. I want to try and push on and see what we can do in the league this year, and maybe in the trophy and some of the other cups. So, but it'll be testing. The key thing for us, financially it's tough, but it will be keeping people fit and available. If we could do that, I think it will be manageable, but as you know too well, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, the trials and tribulations of a non-league manager, the bits and pieces people don't see. Yeah, Steve Baker, I'm sure you've got a million and one things to do. It's always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. I wish you well at the weekend. I will be looking out for the scores as they go through, and hopefully we'll be talking again very soon, talking about the second round of the FA Cup.
Well, if you're calling me on Sunday, mate, then we had a good day. If we don't have a good day, don't worry about calling me.
I share your sentiment, but we will speak very soon. Cheers, Steve.
No, cheers, Tim, and all the best to you and Paul for Saturday, mate.
Thank you. So a few months ago now, my next guest fled the non-league nest, and as ever, I wished him well and said, don't be a stranger. Now, I know he'd always loved coming on this show, but little did I know how much. This week, he stole the national sport headlines by leaving the side he'd taken back to the Football League, Hartlepool United, to join one of his former clubs who he hopes to get back to that promised land to. So it's a pleasure and an honour to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show new manager at Stockport County, Mr. Dave Challoner.
Evening, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. Now, I really appreciate you giving me some time and talking to us once again. As a player, as a manager, you've had great weeks, you've had bad weeks, you've had highs, you've had lows. We've spoken before after many of these, and you're always very honest, very true. And I'd imagine few weeks have had the combination of so many highs and lows as this week. A tough decision to make, and as ever in football, you never please everybody with your decisions.
No, absolutely. One of the toughest weeks. Don't get me wrong, in what are good circumstances, a really, really difficult decision to have to make, and not a position really I wanted to find myself in. But once you do, then you have to weigh up potentially what's the best option moving forward. And although, like I say, the connection and the way things were, I've been going at Hartlepool, I just felt that the opportunity that was presented in terms of lots of things, in terms of being back at home, in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of the plan at Stockport, and the opportunity was one that was had to sort of commit to, really. Mm.
Yeah, anybody that knows me knows me. I'm a solutions type person. You know, life doesn't run as smoothly as we'd all like it to. It doesn't go A to B. There's always an F and a G, and sometimes you have to make those difficult decisions. But again, as somebody who this week will do, you know, I'm going to do it in excess of 600 miles to put in the many hours at my football club, miss out on key family time, and probably miss out on lots of sleep as well. I can fully appreciate there's a whole realm of reasons for you to make this change, but a job nearer home, surely that makes for a happier Dave, and also I'd expect a more effective Dave too.
Yeah, definitely. And listen, don't get me wrong. I think being closer to home, although it's massively, massively important, was a factor, but not the be-all and end-all. I certainly wouldn't be moving closer to home to take up an opportunity that wasn't as potentially appealing as where the club out of the club I was at. This just ticked other boxes as well. But ultimately, in terms of family, and like I say, you just said it there, without their support and the stuff that you put them through on a weekly basis, That became, like, one of the factors that, again, isn't on Hartlepool, and as successful as we've been over the last sort of 24 months, it has been a stretch. I think it's been a tough time for everyone, not just, like I say, in terms of being away, but with the lockdown and all those things, with this coming up, it may have a decision to make, a really tough one. But like I say, one that I think in the long term will be the right one.
Yeah, and you know, those situations arise, you have to make a decision. And it's not as if you don't know the club. You had a 2-year spell there as a player. So you know what the Football League means to everybody involved in the club.
Yeah, absolutely. A completely different club that I returned to as the one I went to as a player. So again, polar opposites really. Went there as a player when they got rid of a lot of the big names and sold, well, were selling the club to Sale Sharks, and Sale were moving in and playing rugby at Edgley Park. The flip's happened, really. We've now, again, moved into training ground at Carrington where Sale Sharks were, and the football club's massively on the up. The owners put real, real big investment in terms of the infrastructure and has a plan in place to want to be a championship club, which, from a management perspective, and a coaching perspective, all of the trivial stuff that you may have to deal with is being taken care of. So my sole focus can be on what happens on the pitch. But again, similar scenario to Hartlepool, club that had their issues and some disappointing times, but is also to be a Football League club. And hopefully we can do similar as what we did last year. And last year will be a year and the final day that I remember for the rest of my life. Hopefully we have a similar scenario at the end of this season.
Yeah, and as you say, there are some similarities between the clubs, and despite going close last season, and we won't mention who marshalled that semi-final defeat, their promotion back to the Football League has always eluded them. I spoke to Kevin Mayer last week, the new boss at Southend, and spoke about the need to understand that really the harsh realities of the National League before any sort of promotion can be achieved. And I guess with your success at Hartlepool, you're probably the best place to adjust that thinking, adjust the way that people approach trying to attain that promotion and things like that to achieve the same for Stockport.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to get everyone on the same page and everyone pushing in the same direction. I think there can be a little bit of initially, or snobbery is probably the wrong word, but a recognition that we're a bigger club than what the National League is, because previously we've been a Championship club, and you have to get that away from you. The facts of the matter are you're in the division and position you are in that division for a reason, and ultimately you need to do what it takes to get out of that league. That helps massively if you have everybody on side, and especially when you've got a big fan base, that could be a huge positive in terms of moving things forward. That was one thing that, even without supporters in the ground last year, We really did this successfully. We got optimism back. We got belief back in a club, and we need to do the same with Stockport.
Yeah. Of course, a two-way relationship, and Stockport, they were obviously keen to recruit you too, and credit to Thomas Feeney for these stats. But in regular league games, I believe these stats are correct. As a manager, so you're a manager across your time at Colwyn Bay, AFC Fylde and Hartlepool, you've had 487 games in charge. You've won 262 of those, drawn 108, lost only 117. That's a 54% win ratio. But you've also won 894 points out of a potential 1,461. But with that, you've also you've achieved the magic. You've achieved five promotions. For a guy with a first-class degree in physiotherapy, you seem to know what you're doing as a manager too.
Yeah, it's been all right, hasn't it? I did my physio degree because I suppose coming out of football professionally, I wanted to stay in. I loved the environment of a football dressing room. I love the dynamic of a football. I love the winning and the ruthless nature of it. Some want to get out as quickly as they can, but I really enjoyed it. To get an opportunity in management is really tough, and then to stay in management again is really tough. The lifespan of a manager reduces every year. So you want to have as many, I suppose, strings to your bow as you possibly can have. But no, it's gone really well, and like I say, I love my job. It's made a lot easier by winning football matches and being successful, and hopefully we can carry that success forward. There's a lot more losers than there are winners in football, and I'm really grateful and appreciate the fact that we have been able to have success. There's no better feeling than winning, and certainly the work you go through over the course of a season to have something palpable at the end of it is massively rewarding.
Yeah, I spoke with Steve Baker at Harrowborough, who got a big FA Cup match down at Portsmouth this weekend, and spoke about, you know, creating your own luck. You have to be in the right place at the right time. You have to put the hours in. You have to put the shifts in. You have to know what you're doing. And yes, a number of managers around the country also taking up new jobs this week across the pyramid. And to be honest, they're not many walking into a situation like yours. The club's just outside the playoffs in the National League. We can talk about that maybe in a minute. But your first game in charge on Saturday, FA Cup first round, away to Bolton, 5,000 Stockport fans there to cheer you on. Is this Hollywood getting involved in non-league football again?
It couldn't be any easier, could it? I'd much prefer an easier game, I've got to be honest, than having to go to Bolton. But in terms of an opportunity for the players and the football club, it's a massive one. Like I say, to take the numbers that we are away from home is amazing. The atmosphere will be fantastic. Every single player will want to be involved and want to play in that game. But they're in a position that this football club aspires to be. So it's a good marker to see where we're at. There's obviously, again, links between the clubs. It's a local derby. Supporters will want to get one over on a close neighbour, if you like. So it has all the ingredients, and hopefully, like I say, certainly not waving a magic wand, having been in what will be 2 or 3 days, but we think we can go and compete and have a good shot, and we know that, as you said there, things need to go in your favour. We're playing against a team that are two divisions higher than us, but that doesn't hold us in massive fear. We're going there to put in a performance, and we think we have players that can compete at that level. They've got to go and show it on the day.
And that was my next question. I mean, how much of an influence can you have? How much do you know about the players that you've inherited there, and what you can achieve with them over these next few days? You know, you're doing media interviews with people like myself. You've done a fans forum. There's plenty going on, and actually, your number of touch hours with the players is very limited. So, can you have an impact on in that first game?
You can have an impact. I think again, a new manager coming in almost gives everyone a little bit of impetus and a kick up the backside for players that haven't been involved. A fresh start for them, not hugely in terms of tactically and philosophy wise. And some would say that, well, you're better off playing an FA Cup tie then rather than a league game, because you maybe can't have the impact that you want. And in the grand scheme of things, 3 points is potentially more important than what the FA Cup is. But that's the sort of cards we've been dealt here. And you go there and try and do what you can and try and put a plan in place to go and win the game. There'll be changes happening over the coming weeks and months in terms of what we want from the players and what we expect. The first thing we're going to find out is whether they can do what we're asking them to do, physically and tactically. And again, we'd be daft to sort of go into a game having 2 or 3 days training under our belts and completely rip up the hymn sheet and go, no, we're going to go like this, lads. I think we've got to trust what the players have got. Again, I'm very aware, having spent time in the division and played against them last year, of what the players can do. From the outside looking in, it's different when you get inside, but they're a talented group, and we've got to, like I say, get a tune out of that talent.
And in terms of target for this season, have you been set any? Have you got any aim yourself? Have you been... I spoke earlier to Steve Baker, key performance indicators, they're everywhere else. They're surely in the game of management as well.
Yeah, no targets have been put in front of me that this has to happen. I think everyone knows what the football club's target and what the owner's target was at the start of the season. That was to be a football club, a football league club at the end of the season, and that still remains the same. We know how tough this league is to get out of, but the football league opens so many avenues for different football clubs. So whether it's as was the case last year through the playoffs, whether it's the holy grail of one promotion or one champion's place that you end up going for, you see how the season develops. There's still an awful lot of points to play for, and we need to get as many as we can as quickly as we can, and we can reevaluate as we move along. The first target for us is to try and get a result on Sunday. And if that's the case, if that's not the case, then our targets will quickly and shift onto Bromley the following Saturday on BT Sport. So two really big games at the start of me moving in to try and get things moving.
Yeah. And one last one. You've had a few months now as a manager in the Football League. And it'd just be interesting to know, is there much difference at all between that and the National League, other than potentially a little bit more media interest?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that the jump is huge, as people would expect, really. I think, again, over the course of a 90 minutes, you probably get slightly less opportunities, and you have to take the opportunities that come your way. But on the flip side of that, you've got to be more switched on defensively. As is the case with all football, as you move forward, what happens in the 18-yard box is becoming more clinical and you get punished more. Listen, the gap's not massive. I think there are a huge amount of National League clubs that would go into League Two and more than comfortably hold their own if they kept the squad that they have. And I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. Like I say, the teams that naturally have gone up have performed well and done well. I think this season's been no different with Sutton and Hartlepool as it was, both starting the season positively and looking up rather than down in the division.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to close that game that gap over the weekend in the FA Cup with that trip to Bolton. Dave Challoner, a welcome back to Non-League. Thank you once again for giving us some time on the Non-League Football Show, and best of luck this weekend and going forward, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Welcome to him anytime.
So running off this week's news, it's time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. And it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, where senior writer David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. Now, we missed you last week. You were off meeting Hollywood royalty. What's this week been all about? You've been meeting the Queen this week, because she's not been well.
No, not quite. Not quite the same activities as last week. Yeah, that was... pretty surreal, really, sort of being at Wrexham when Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney were there, sort of unveiled for the first time. Obviously, there's been involved with Wrexham for a little while now. It was sort of the first time they could get over and watch a couple of games and, yeah, sort of speak to the country's media, really. So, yeah, sort of strange sort of day seeing that one, but no, good to be there and sort of back to reality this week of sort of more bog standard non-league story.
No, I suppose not as surreal as the actual journey back, which is you know, the trip from Wrexham is. You realise it is a very long way away. I mean, this week the FA Cup's first round's a big focus, mainly, I guess, because there's no National League fixtures because of the participation of many clubs. This is the round where there's 32 non-league clubs against 48 Football League clubs, and everybody comes together, and it's thrown up a number of all Football League ties. So I think there's a non-league interest in over half the games, which is great for the showcase of non-league, but probably a bit of a headache for you guys trying to squeeze everything into the paper.
Yeah, that's right. And usually they sort of pick the non-league games for the sort of Sunday highlights programme, but that's kind of reversed now. It's on a Saturday, so we actually have more FA Cup first round games than we usually would being played on a Saturday to cover. So, yeah, it will be a busy day on Saturday, no doubt, in the office. But, you know, certainly great, though, to be covering all of those games. And, you know, we really hope there's some big shocks in there. I'm sure there will be. There always is. But, yeah, lots of really good ties over the next few days to look forward to. And, yeah, obviously the TV interest starting on Friday night with AFC Sudbury and going right through to Monday with Dagenham. Yeah, it's always a top weekend, the first round weekend. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and hopefully lots of fans able to get along to these games as well, because they obviously many missed out this time last year. And while we're mentioning crowds as well, what a weekend last week. Was it a whopping 7,213 at Grimsby, hosting Notts County, and 9,800 plus at Wrexham when they had Torquay United? And it wasn't as if there weren't crowds elsewhere either.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the crowds sort of across non-league really have been really impressive this season, because we did fear whether it would pick back up after COVID. Obviously, COVID is still a problem in the country, and for some people, you know, they won't want to be going out into two public places and mixing sort of with big crowds at these sort of events. So, you know, it's promising to see that, you know, people are still getting behind their non-league clubs. It's easy once you sort of fall out of a routine of going to matches each week to get back into that. You know, people reevaluate, you know, what they're doing sometimes if, you know, they stop doing something when it's enforced like that. So, yeah, good to see. And, you know, there'll be certainly more of those big crowds this weekend in the first round. I was speaking to Ian Anson, the St Albans manager, today. And, you know, they've sold out just over 4,000 tickets for their game. And even sort of the local pubs are rammed already with bookings for the fans who weren't able to get a ticket, but we'll watch their game on Sunday evening on TV in there. So, yeah, it just goes to show sort of, you know, the impact of the FA Cup as well on these non-league clubs and non-league towns too, you know, when it's even sort of helping the local economy like that. So, yeah, there'll certainly be, thousands of fans heading out to non-league games again this weekend.
Yeah, and well, thousands in particular, 5,000 making the trip from Stockport County across to Bolton, and that was obviously the big news this week was obviously the return to non-league by Dave Challoner. A bit of a curveball in the managerial merry-go-round.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think there had initially been interest from Stockport in Dave Challoner over the summer when, obviously, he took Hartlepool up into the Football League. You know, it didn't materialise. He signed a new contract with Hartlepool, which kind of seemed to take forever for that to get agreed, but it was signed. But then obviously Simon Rush sort of didn't work out for him at Stockport. You know, they didn't have the worst of starts. You know, they aren't far off the playoffs, but you know, for a club of Stockport's caliber and with their backing, you know, they're expected to have been in the title picture. So I've decided to make that change. And you know, you can do much worse than get someone who's just won promotion from the National League. And particularly, you know, I think that Hartlepool promotion really will sort of be remembered as one of the most impressive promotions out of non-league's top flight, really, because I don't think anyone really sort of had Hartlepool getting promoted last season. You know, the fact that they got into the playoffs was impressive, and then to, you know, go all the way and winning that sort of epic final against Torquay on penalties, you know, was really amazing, really. You know, I think maybe if I was a Hartlepool fan, I'd be thinking, you know, surely this will be an ongoing thing of clubs wanting Dave Chandler. I guess when the new contract gets signed, maybe you think otherwise, but you know, it just goes to show the ambition of Stockport and the financial backing that they have to be able to get him and get him out of that contract at Hartlepool, really. So yeah, really sort of big statement there. You know, they'll obviously hope that Dave Chandler coming in will have that sort of new manager bounce and hopefully really sort of put them into that title picture, really. But yeah, that's certainly a big statement now. And yeah, sort of all eyes on them as to how this is going to go. And obviously, I guess, you know, interesting first one against Bolton in the FA Cup, which, like you say, you know, really good backing from the Stockport fans going there. And yeah, you know, you can see a shock happening there, can't you? Even though Dave Chandler, you know, hasn't been in the job for more than a week.
Mm. Yeah, and in terms of other managerial news, it's also always nice to see clubs backing the teams that have gotten so far and sort of are stuck with them. So pleasing to see Jamie Vermiglio and Andy Rees being handed long-term deals at Chorley. Maybe not the seasons that they've had in recent seasons, but it's a commitment both ways with both clubs and managers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, good to see that for Jamie Vermiglio at Chorley. You know, he's done a lot of really good work there in recent seasons. Obviously, they were sort of the stars of the FA Cup last year, getting to that third round. Editor Matt Badcock spoke to Jamie Vermiglio this week for a piece, and I think, you know, the feeling is that you know, obviously that you know, it's well deserved his new contract there, but you know, the goal really is to get them back into the National League. That's sort of the big prize that he'd really want, you know, which they are working towards. You know, started well in National League North, so yeah, good to see. And you know, that will only sort of, I don't know, add to their promotion push, I suppose, having that stability that, you know, hopefully, that unless there's another Dave Chandler situation, that hopefully he'll be staying there for the future.
Yeah. I mean, other news, last week's guest, Kevin Mayer, notched up an impressive win with his South End side down at Dover. And Booth and Crescent, York City have announced one last chance for a farewell to Booth and Crescent before it gets demolished. There's going to be a free walk around taking place on Sunday the 28th of November, and the fans and I guess other members of the public can book for free online to have a look around there. Any great memories of Booth and Crescent, Dave?
Well, I remember going there with Woking actually one time, and I think being possibly 4-0 down at half time, or it was at least 3, so not a fun memory in that way. But no, I was sort of almost surprised seeing that news this week, because you know, I presumed that you know, they'd have sort of already sort of moved out of there as such, and sort of work had begun. But I guess with you know, the COVID situation over the last sort of 2 years, it's been difficult for fans to have that proper send off. I think they're, some of the things they've tried to do have had to be postponed, and you know, it's all been a bit bitty since COVID hit, really. So I guess, yeah, giving fans one last chance to have a look around is no bad thing.
Yeah, and I think there's also a chance for fans to name some of the apartment blocks with that are going to be built on top of it. I'm not sure whether that's going to be received in the way it should be. I feel another Boated McBoatface type of competition coming on there.
Yeah, could well be. I'm sure there'll be some interest in those being thrown.
Yeah, but it's nice though, as you say, reaching out to the community and the fan base and giving that one last opportunity. And talking about reaching out, by the time this goes out, there'll be a new documentary about non-league. At some point on Friday, it's set to go live on BBC iPlayer. Making Macclesfield features Robbie Savage and Robert Smethurst on restarting the club at Macclesfield. I got an invite to the premiere that I couldn't make, but I didn't get an invite for any cameo roles. What about yourself, David?
No, I similarly got an invite to the premiere, which I believe is tomorrow, isn't it?
Yep.
Up in Macclesfield. But and also unable to attend. But no cameo appearances in that for the newspaper either. But an interesting story there. And yeah, I look forward to watching that because, they've done a huge amount of work at the club, since forming or reforming, I suppose I should say. There's a gym there now, a totally revamped bar and hospitality facilities, a 3G pitch. Loads of work that's gone on there. And obviously they've got ambitions to climb back up through the pyramid and get back up to where they were.
Yeah, and it's always one of those bittersweet ones, isn't it, as a non-league fan? Because it is great when a celebrity or a name can come in and help raise the profile of the club and also non-league as well. But there's so many clubs up and down the land that haven't got that, but still put in the hard graft and still would be. Benefit so much from a focus of the media of just looking to see all the hard work that goes on week in, week out.
Yeah, that's right. And, there's a lot of volunteers at Macclesfield, like any other non-league club. I believe they're showcased in the documentary as well. And you also hear from fans sort of the impact of when the club, the original club was liquidated. So, yes, it goes to show sort of the impact these clubs can have on communities and local people as well. So, yeah, looking forward to having a watch of that.
So you mentioned a couple of the things that will be featured in this weekend's paper, but anything else that you can give us a heads up about what we might be able to read on Sunday morning?
Yeah, loads of FA Cup coverage as expected from the first round. Like I said, hoping for some big shocks in that. We've also previewed the Sunday games as well. Like I said, spoke to St Albans manager Ian Allenson about their game against Forest Green Rovers. So they're very much looking forward to that. We've also caught up with Billy Wood, the Hastings chairman, about the quite surprising sort of departure of their manager, Chris Agutter, who resigned this week, and so now they're searching for someone else to take the reins. Also, Ian Selly going in at Chertsey after player manager Kevin McLaren also left there last week. Loads more going on as well. Buxton having another shock change of managers. That seems to be the talk of the town at the moment in recent weeks. Steve Shaw back with another column as well. So yeah. Completely sort of packed edition this week. We're sort of struggling to get everything in at the moment, so I think that's when you know it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, a proper non-league weekend with as you say, FA Cup games on Sunday and Monday as well. David, we look forward to reading the non-league paper on Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thank you.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and for everybody for listening. Please do share with your friends and tell them about us. Tell them that we're still here and still churning out interviews and insight with those people that matter in non-league. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. I'm there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, even Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Castbox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. I'm off to edit this show, put it all together, get it live, and then heading back to Middlesex and the stadium at the Sky X, ready for FA Cup football. Hazen Yedding against Sutton United. If you do get to one of those games this week, smile politely. Say thank you for all those people that are putting in all their hard work and all their hard hours over the week. Whether it's FA Cup, whether it's your local league game. If it's non-league, there's a lot of blood, sweat and tears gone into getting that game on. Stay safe. Enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA.